The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. Actually, more than daily, we have 8 shows a week. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This is the Thursday Night Football Recap, joined as always by my 3 friends, the NFL Super Friends, John Breach, Ryan Wilson, Sean Wagner McGuff. What's happening, fellas?
Hi, Will.
You know, you would think after 492 episodes, we'd figure out that when I say your names, you could, one person would jump in first.
I would think that you would call us by one name or the other so we know who you wanted to speak. Because every time you say, what's up,
guys? I do it in different order. That's true.
I think we're all surprised every time you call us super friends because off podcast, ho, Brinson treats us like trash. He has me do his laundry and then I have to mail it back to him. He doesn't even mail stuff to Sean. It's insane.
It's not true. Everything's been mailed. We are we're kosher.
There's just like a 3, you know, like when you order something online, it's like, you know, you can pay extra for next day shipping. There's actually a 4th option. It's called the Brinson. It means he takes your money and doesn't mail something for 3 months.
It's like ordering off eBay when it's coming from China. It takes
4 months to get there. I forgot to ask, did you guys adjust your Skype settings to make sure that
I did.
Good job. Indeed.
And diddly do.
I've got one of our listeners, Joseph H., we're doing a beer swap for a shirt situation.
And so, like, do we get any of that beer, or is that just for you?
I'm already a little anxious about getting the shirt out in the mail. Like, I'm like, it makes me anxious knowing it's lingering. And yet, I'll get it to him, but, you know.
So here are the 2 things that Brinson gets anxious about. Someone who gives 0 craps about everything, including, like, being on time for his family stuff. He gets anxious about mailing a shirt to someone who's giving him beer. Uh-huh. And he gets anxious about sitting in the middle seat on the set when we're doing like segments at Fort Lauderdale. He can't be in the middle seat of a 3-man setup.
But as I pointed out at the time, that's very like goes against what you'd expect of Brinson because you would expect that he would want to be in the
exactly.
middle. That's why I was shocked.
He has like, anxiety. He wants to be on the side.
Yeah. It's like Zoolander can't turn left. Brinson cannot operate from the middle seat on a studio set. It's actually unbelievable.
It is.
Speaking of beer that came in the mail, shout out to BrewDog, James Marks, listener, works at BrewDog, always hooks it up, sent some to Heath as well. I'm drinking a Vermont Vampire. It's a black New England IPA. Mm. It's something else. A little fruity pop, and yet it's a little bit of darkness to it. Sean, this would be right up your
way. I wish that you had as much enthusiasm for football as you do about beer.
Or being on time. Imagine if he were as punctual as he is in love with beer. Man, I don't even want to think about it.
You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a heavy beer you could have paired with a heavy sandwich.
Got you there. You called it a heavy sandwich once. Remember that, Will?
I do. Let's talk some football.
That was a heavy sandwich.
That's a heavy sandwich. You know, if we get this stupid soundboard working, we'd have some drops. Believe you me, I will get a Dog John drop in there too.
Sean coming out swinging.
19-9 was the final on Thursday night between the Minnesota Vikings and the Washington Redskins. I feel like this is the football, not to steal Breach's little move, and go with an analogy here, but this felt like a boa constrictor killing a bunny rabbit. Like it was just
wrap it around it and strangle it to death very slowly in long, drawn out fashion. That feels accurate, right?
I feel like that's about half right. I feel like it was a boa constrictor strangling an alligator like you see on National Geographic. Then when Case Keenum went out, a little bunny rabbit came out of the alligator's mouth, and then that's what he finished off with.
Where is this taking place? Are there bunnies next to alligators in real life anywhere?
The Serengeti Show.
Imagine like
the Everglades. Have you ever been to Florida?
Are there bunnies in Florida?
Yes, everything's in Florida.
Have you not ever heard the story? There's some guy who played at Florida State. It's either Antonio Cromartie or something. Maybe it's Anquan Boldin, but they used to race the rabbits.
Antonio Holmes did that.
Antonio Holmes, that's who it was.
I can't remember the town, but he's from down there, and that's how they claim that he got to be so quick and fast and all that stuff. Yeah.
I'm sure if we Google Santonio Holmes, yep.
Belglade? Is he from Belglade?
Santonio Holmes tells his days of chasing, catching, and skinning rabbits.
Boom.
He's not want not.
There you go, Sean. And Sean didn't think there were rabbits in Florida. What an uncultured.
The only times I'm in Florida is usually with you guys, and we have never seen a rabbit.
That's because the iguanas eat them all.
Suffice to say, Sean, this puts you publicly as uncultured swine.
Ha!
Yeah, got all right, anyway, back to the Redskins. Back to this show. Back to the Redskins. 19-9. I mean, look, I don't know. The Redskins were in this game in the first half. This was not a blowout.
In the third quarter.
Yes.
I don't know.
Case Keenum went out.
It was 16-9. Case Keenum, he went out. They went for it on fourth down. The Vikings did. They didn't get it because what's his face? Trubisky. Kirk Cousins did the Ryan Tannehill sneak where he jumped straight up again. That doesn't work. I don't know why they do that. So they didn't get it. They had the ball. Two plays later, I think, is when Dwayne Haskins threw that moon ball to scary Terry McLaurin over the middle that was intercepted. So it was 16-9 at that point, wasn't it?
And that was with 2:48 remaining in the third quarter was when Cousins got stuffed on that fourth down. So this was a game with 15 minutes left, roughly. It was a one-score game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're,
I wrote it down on my handy notepad from 2005.
No, but you're wrong. Haskins came out of halftime and started.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. That's when the game was over.
No. He threw the interception to Scary Terry when it was 16-9 late in the third quarter.
Yeah. See, what you're missing is that the second Dwayne Haskins came in the game, it was over.
Okay.
Dwayne Haskins was the bunny in my metaphor after the alligator got taken out.
Alligator Case Keenum?
Yes.
No, I mean, like,
disrespectful to alligators.
Their first drive, they went 3 plays, 7 yards, punt. Then they got the ball, 6 plays, 50 yards, which is actually pretty decent. And so they get a field goal and Haskins.
Now, Brenton, we don't have to give any credit to Dwayne Haskins that drive. That was 56 yards by Adrian Peterson, 35 yards rushing, 21 yards receiving. Adrian Peterson literally did that entire drive himself and put them in field goal range. So that was not Haskins at all.
Adrian Peterson had a 30-plus yard run. And if you take that out, and I'm not suggesting, but I'm just saying, like, for the purposes of evaluating Dwayne Haskins, 7 yards on their first drive, 15 on the second minus the AP run, 4 yards on their third drive, -3 on their fourth drive, and then they ran the ball once for 11 yards and walked off the field down 10. I mean, they were not in the game in the second half once Dwayne Haskins came in. I will not accept that.
That's fine. I mean, the score and the situation said differently, but if you hate Dwayne, it ain't like Case Keenum's going to the Hall of Fame based on what he's played this year. I mean, he's pretty terrible as well.
If they'd done anything in the red zone, they would have been leading in the game. If Bill Callahan.
But that works the same way with the Vikings, though. The Vikings didn't even punt in this game, and they only scored 19 points because they couldn't finish drives.
What I think Brinson is saying is that the second Dwayne Haskins entered the game in the second half, at the beginning of the second half, in no way did he ever feel threatened that the Vikings were going to lose.
I think he's saying
did he feel threatened with Case Keenum in the first half?
They
moved the ball?
Keenum, actually, he was 12 of 16 for 130 yards, 8 yards per attempt. He was actually – he wasn't the problem in the first half.
Yeah, Terry McLaurin was running wide open against the Vikings secondary. Vikings secondary did not
– the Vikings secondary. Xavier Rhodes, who has had a terrible year, and that was punctuated by a terrible evening, and then he got hit in the face, and they didn't call the – I think AP did. Was it AP who sort of speared him in the side of the head?
No, it was Sprinkle.
Sprinkle, okay. I like Sprinkle and I like Pringle from the other team. What team does he play for, Sean? The Chiefs, right?
I'm not sure I ever want to hear Sean say sprinkle again.
I'm restricted from talking about the Redskins tight end.
Say it one more time, just in case.
Sprinkle. What's wrong with sprinkle?
Hey, Sean, say sprinkle daddy.
No, don't say that.
Those
that
are Brinson's two favorite words that you say.
No, moist too.
Oh, that's a terrible
moist word. Sprinkle daddy.
That should be banned before like the F word or other word. Moist should just be out of our
lexicon.
By the way,
moist sprinkle daddy, that is definitely the name of Sean's high school band.
And my fantasy team.
Too far.
Yeah, do you guys think moist sprinkle daddy's gonna play their up tempo hit tonight?
All emo.
We might sprinkle in a few of the hits.
Dude, that's terrible. Dalvin Cook ran well, 23 carries, 98 yards, one touchdown. Alexander Mattison had 13 carries for 61 yards. Should have had like 15 carries for 120 yards, but half of them got called back. Big moment at the end of the game. Instead of trying to pass in the end zone and really put this thing away, Mike Zimmer ran the ball on fourth down. Alexander Mattison couldn't get in the end zone, and the Vikings did not cover the 16.5 points.
Did you like the 16.5? I didn't.
No, no, not at all. I took the Vikings live twice in the second half. Once Haskins popped in, 14.5 and then at 8.5, after the midfield turnover. So split the difference on it. But once Haskins came in, I was trying to get as much on the Vikings as I could. Stephon Diggs was awesome, except for one fumble. He was running wide open, 7 targets, 7 catches, 143 yards. Dalvin Cook caught a bunch of screens that led to the only touchdown in that game, 5 catches for 73 yards. It just didn't feel like the Vikings were revving up at all in this game.
Yeah. I was going to say, Stephon Diggs, 3-game receiving stretch is a franchise record. He's gone off the last 3 games. So tonight what's that?
Squeaky wheel.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. That's your theory. So let's look real quick. So 7-167 2 weeks ago against the Eagles, 3 touchdowns in that game, 7-143 last week against Detroit. And then tonight he was 7-143. So that's
– I mean – and that extends obviously to Kirk Cousins. If you know, after that Bears game 4 weeks ago when, you know, it seemed like the sky was falling, Vikings on the verge of trading Diggs, Cousins has to publicly apologize. This is what Cousins has done in the 4 games since. 78% of his passes completed, 10.9 yards per attempt, 315 yards per game, 10 touchdowns and 1 interception. He didn't throw a touchdown today, on Thursday night, but I thought he was almost perfect. I mean, he was 23 of 26. He didn't really make a bad throw. His only mistake came on that quarterback sneak when he kind of just went the wrong way and didn't, as Brinson likes to say, you know, burrow your way into the offensive line. But I think Cousins right now is playing well enough to get himself into the MVP conversation. I'm actually shocked. We wrote our MVP post for this week, and I'm actually surprised you didn't already put him in there, Brinson, but I know he's going to be there this week.
Yeah, probably number one. He'll move ahead of Christian McCaffrey.
And you guys just mentioned Diggs. He and Ryan mentioned all his numbers, 452 receiving yards over the past 3 games. That is a Vikings record. Not even Randy Moss did that.
Oh, that's what I just said. Good call.
Did you give the exact number?
No, I didn't do the math, and I didn't mention
Randy Moss's Moss, but... number was 446. So Diggs,
no one listens to each other on this podcast.
No, I listened. I just didn't think he gave the number.
Is that a bit? Maybe.
Well, I have another thing I want to say, and then John, you can double down on that once I say
it. I'm the stat guy. I'm just making sure we had the final stat correct. Wait.
You're the guy.
Yeah, you don't get a claim being the stat guy. I was just letting everyone know how much he beat Randy Moss's record by.
So coming into tonight's game,
if you'd heard Ryan say it, you'd been like, and Ryan, that number you mentioned earlier, here's the exact number. Instead, you were like, here's a franchise record.
So Kirk was 23 of 26 tonight for 285. Coming into this game, 3 straight games prior to tonight, 300 yards passing, 135 passer rating, first player in NFL history to do that. And coming into tonight's game, he was 0-4 on Thursday night. Clearly, Callahan and Dwayne Haskins made that work out for him, though.
Yeah, did you guys know that Cousins is 0-4 on Thursday nights coming into this game? Nah, I'm kidding. I heard him say it.
I don't know if you guys know this. The Nationals, the Washington Nationals, have not lost since Bill Callahan took over the Redskins. Like, if Jay Gruden had to die so the Nationals could win a World Series, he should get to throw out the first pitch on Friday, tonight's game against the Astros.
How many possessions do you think the Redskins have gone without scoring a touchdown?
Well, it's been 2 games. 9 quarters. So I'll say it's been 9 quarters. I will say that it's been 26 possessions.
Anyone else want to gander, I guess?
It's the Dolphins game. I know that. So
I don't want to guess.
I'll say 21.
Oh my God, it's 21. Did you cheat, John?
No, I swear to God.
I did see him reaching for his computer after you asked the question.
No. I looked at their possessions in this game and then did the math from there, like added that to my guess, but I did not look at any other games. I just knew the last touchdown they scored because they shut out against the 49ers, and the last time they scored was 17-16 against the Dolphins.
Four straight double-digit wins for the Vikings. So I think Sean is on to something with this Kirby Cousins. By the way, once we saw, forget about the Callahan thing. Once we started calling him Kirby Suckett, he turned it around. That's what happened.
And I'll tell you, the curse of Ryan Wilson, because, man, you trashed Matt Patricia for 12 straight months. Yeah. That guy turned it around. You come up with Kirby Suckett. That guy's now an MVP candidate. And you know what, Kirk Cousins, I thought his best throw of the night was the Vikings had a 3rd and 9 from their own 10-yard line in the third quarter. If they don't convert this, it's still 13-6. You punt. The Redskins are practically in field goal range if you do not convert this 3rd and 9. Cousins throws a dime to Stephon Diggs. It went for a 39-yard gain. And again, this was 3rd and 9 from their own 10-yard line. And then from there, the Vikings went straight down, kicked the field goal, and that was pretty much what put the game out of the reach. And so, you know, I thought that was probably the Cousins' key throw of the game.
Can I put one more thing out there?
You put as many things out there as you want.
What do you think Kirk Cousins' career record is now? Percentage-wise, you don't have to give me the exact number.
I know the answer to this.
500.
One above 500.
Okay. Yep. Listen, you're talking to the numbers guy, Sean. You got to be specific. So it's 40, 39, and 2. This is the first time since starting his career 1-0, according to our buddies at CBS Sports HQ. Kirk Cousins above 500 starter.
This Kirk Cousins slander won't stand. And after the
talking about who's slandered?
We've spent the last 10 minutes complimenting him.
Besides Wilson, we're the most pro Kirk Cousins podcast in this country. You predicted him to win a Super Bowl. I predicted him to get to the Super Bowl. And Sean would high five Kirk Cousins if he came over to his apartment.
I'll tell you what I did. When Andrew Luck retired, I did a redraft of that draft. And I said Kirk Cousins would be the third pick in that draft behind Luck and Russell Wilson. And people killed me for it.
What did they kill you? Like, who do they think
should kill you for not having Kirk over Luck?
Oh, no, I think if you get how many 6 years of Luck like that, I think a lot of teams would take their chances in that 6 years and try to win.
Remember when
you get a coach and a GM fired?
My God. Brinson, this is a weird hill to die on.
You got a coach and a GM.
Andrew Luck got Pagano and Gregson fired. That's what you just said. Okay. I mean, we'll see what people think about that. Good take.
They didn't win anything. They all got fired, and he
kept them their jobs longer.
He went 11-5 in his first 2 years, and the year before they won 2 football games. What are you smoking?
You've criticized. This is so bizarre. You've been hammering Gregson and Pagano all throughout the Andrew Luck era, and then now you're saying Luck got them fired?
Would you take 12 years of Kirk Cousins or 6 years of Andrew Luck?
6 of Andrew.
But you already know what the 6 years are. I'll take the 12 of Cousins.
Wait, am I getting a repeat of the 6 years I just got of Kirk Cousins, or does he get progressively better? I did not mean
to turn this into a redraft, the 2012 draft.
After the break, we'll talk about what's next for Washington.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former sports center anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's the butterfly effect for
real. Can't believe you guys tried to derail, try to turn this on me. This is not on me. Dwayne Haskins came into the second half. Bill Callahan says he's not sure who will start a quarterback at Buffalo in week 9. The Redskins bye is week 10. However, he did say if Case Keenum, who is dealing with a concussion, cannot go, it would be Dwayne Haskins over Colt McCoy. Prepare the nuke bombs on whatever the line is, Buffalo minus X.
You want us to guess, or are you going to tell us?
I don't know what it would be. I think if Dwayne Haskins started, it would be Buffalo minus 12.
Yeah, all right.
If Dwayne Haskins starts, Sean has to fly to Vegas and put bets in for all of us because I'm dropping all my money on that.
Here's what I want to say about that, though. I mean, look, Dwayne Haskins was terrible. He only played 1 year last year at Ohio State, and he was really good. But this is a completely different animal being at the Washington Redskins. But we've seen teams who lose their quarterback and function. So this isn't all about Dwayne Haskins being inexperienced. I mean, the Steelers won with some guy named Duck Hodges, and Brinson hates that name worse than any other name you give someone. You said you hate Duck.
I think it's a stupid nickname for a quarterback.
Okay, why are you making faces? That's exactly what I just said.
Brinson's being weird tonight. Yeah.
But my point is that if Dwayne Haskins were in Pittsburgh.
Sean's name more than I hate Duck Hodges' name.
If Sean Haskins were in Pittsburgh, for example, they probably would have won the same number of games they won and beaten the Chargers. But I feel like in Washington, it doesn't matter who's there, that the quarterback doesn't have a chance, whether he's young, old, or in between.
I would agree with that. I mean, look, he's in the hardest place to play in football right now in terms of opposing stadiums. I think in Minnesota, it's a really difficult place to play against a very good defense coached by a smart defensive coach with a bad offensive line, no skill position weapons. And he's being asked to jump in without preparation. And he's botching calls at the line. He's missing, making bad throws. Yeah. I mean, that's what to be expected. The Redskins, by the way, are dangerously close to cashing their under early.
What
six,
is it?
6.5.
Who thought there was going to be 6.5?
I bet it. My under 6.5.
So good.
Game
good
seven games. They have 7 games after their bye. So I believe they have to lose 3 more games and the Redskins under will cash. It's getting pretty tight.
So are the 3 front runners for worst all time or worst 2019 Redskins, Dolphins, and Bengals? Is that where we're at? Is any other team fighting?
Clear cut bottom tier.
Are the Bengals the worst team in football?
You guys mocked me when I said this 2 weeks ago. Bengals podcast, guys. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let you let me do it. I'm just not going to talk about the Bengals tonight. They're on London time. It's like 5 a.m. in London right now. So I'm sleeping. I'm sleeping on the Bengals.
Hey, is it possible that by the way, real quick, let's talk about Adrian Peterson. I passed Jerome Bettis and LaDainian Tomlinson. Now 6th all-time on the rushing list. Did you think it was a cool moment when he got cheered by the Vikings fans? Do you think, as Hakeem Dervish asked me on CBS Sports HQ before we recorded this podcast, he's an immediate Hall of Famer, right?
He just passed Jerome and LDT. So, yeah, they're both in the Hall of Fame.
You know, yeah. D about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Good question, Brinson. Yes. I mean, he's the best running back of his generation.
You are mocking Hakeem if you mock that question, because I'm utilizing his question. And perhaps mocking our producer, Matt Mayer, in, as well, because I bet Mayer stuck that in Hakeem's ear.
Like, what That's more fine. would Peterson have had to do? Like, he win a Super Bowl? I don't think you can hold that.
No,
running
I'm just
back.
Kidding. He should absolutely.
And he has, he has the career numbers, and he has that one incredible season where he dragged them to the playoffs and almost set the record. Or did he? No. Was he short?
You mean MVP in 2012?
Yeah. Did he break the rushing record?
No, he didn't break. He fell like 40 or 50 yards short.
I know. They knocked the 10-win Bears out of the playoffs. I was very disappointed watching MVP. That game.
He busted over 2,000 yards coming off a torn ACL that he suffered the previous December. He's a slam dunk Hall of Famer, in my opinion. I put him up there with Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, Barry Sanders. I would put him above Frank Gore and Curtis Martin, who are more compilers, I think. But ahead of him on the rushing list, just guys there. I would have him below LaDainian, Payton, Sanders, and Smith, but just one notch. He's better than Bettis. I would put him below Marshall Faulk, too, who didn't have necessarily the numbers in terms of the yardage. But I think he's right there in that big group. I guess the big takeaway here is that Wilson thinks Hakeem is a moron.
And Adrian Peterson fell 8 yards short.
By the way, Hakeem listens to this podcast.
Single season, right? I think the takeaway is that Ryan is an a-hole. I don't know if I can say that.
Hakeem listens to this podcast. No Anchor is better about promoting it. He and Tommy Tran are the best about promoting it because they listen to the show. They talk about it. It's awesome. I appreciate it. And Wilson's on here trying to dunk on it. What are you
doing? I love it, Keith. So if you want to continue to tell that story, go ahead. But sure, knock yourself out.
Is there any chance that Dalvin Cook is the MVP of the Vikings and not Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, of course.
Did you watch this game tonight? I mean, it was Dalvin Cook. It's Kirk Cousins throwing a ball 1 yard downfield and Dalvin Cook doing the rest of it. That's 40% of the Vikings offensive production. So I would definitely say it's Dalvin Cook.
And not only that, how many times has Dalvin Cook had to apologize to his teammates for being terrible this year?
See, I think I would say you could put a average running back on the Vikings and they would not be as good as they are now. But they'd be a lot closer to 6-2 than you would if you put an average quarterback on the Vikings. Like Alexander Mattison had 61 yards on 13 carries today. Like
if Dalvin Cook gets hurt, Alexander Madison's a monster.
Okay. Yeah. No one disagrees with that, but you asked who's the MVP and Breach and I said it's not unreasonable to think it's Dalvin Cook.
Sean dunked on your face by pointing out the inherent point.
No,
of
Sean then he said you could. Andy Dalton could have done what Kirk Cousins did tonight. I mean,
come on.
There wasn't. He had
said
you
didn't want to make this a Bengals podcast. What are you
all
doing?
All right, fine. Then pick another quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick could have gone in there and did what Kirk Cousins
did. I thought you were going to say Ryan Finley.
In this game, not the whole season, Breach. In this game.
Breach, I want you to turn around and grab. Could Trubisky?
He had two good throws downfield and he threw a bunch of screen passes.
Could Trubisky have done this?
No,
not Trubisky.
Okay. I want you to put on your little time travel hat that you've got somewhere in your office. I know you got one. I won't believe you don't. And I want you to fast forward 5 weeks. It is now December 3rd, 2019. Oh my God, it's December. Are we only 5 weeks away from December?
That was my only thought when you said that.
Yes. I was like, wait, that can't be real. The Vikings have played at the Chiefs, at the Cowboys on Sunday night. At home against the Broncos, taken a bye, and then played the Seahawks on Monday Night Football in Week 13. What is their record in those four games?
If Patrick Mahomes does not play in that game against the Chiefs, and I do not think he will because I think Andy Reid is just playing all of us for fools with this Weekend at Bernie's routine. The Pick 6 podcast social media page had a great tweet about Andy Reid propping him up like Bernie and Weekend at Bernie. Sean, I know you don't know what that movie is. I do not think Mahomes is going to play against the Packers. I do not think he is going to play against the Vikings the following week, and he's probably going to miss three games. So anyway, if he misses that, I think the Vikings win that. I think they beat the Broncos, and I think they beat the Cowboys or the Seahawks. So I think they go 3-1 in that stretch, which would bring him up to 9-3. And pretty much, if you're 9-3 at that point in the season, you have a playoff spot locked down.
Is that the best team in that division?
No.
Okay.
It's close. I think you can make a case.
Okay. Sean's going to say the Bears.
A case for the Bears. No.
I was tweeting with our buddy Shane Bacon.
Nice. How's Shane doing?
After the game, he said, "Al, Shane's great. Shane's living the dream.
He really is.
Awful. Tall, handsome, left-handed, goes around and plays Bandon Dunes all the time. I'm jealous.
Is left-handed good?
It's unique if you're a golfer.
They call you Southpaw.
No, they don't. They don't do that.
That must have gone out in the 90s. Go ahead. What do you say when you talk to him?
he was like, "How about your Vikings Super Bowl pick?" I think the Vikings are better than the Packers.
Okay. I mean, that's not outrageous.
I think you can make that argument. I don't know. I mean, I'm at the point where I just don't know. They're too close.
I watched them play on the field, and I saw the Packers win.
It's Green Bay.
So I'm going to say the Packers.
Monday Night Football at home in Minnesota, December 23rd. That's a big boy game.
That's 8 weeks away.
That's tomorrow. ESPN got lucky with that one. All right.
So we have the battle for the number one pick between the Bengals and Dolphins on Sunday, December 22nd. Then we have Packers-Vikings on Monday, December. What a weekend that is going to be right before Christmas. I don't know if we're going to survive.
By the way, just to illustrate how close it is, I just pulled it up. The Packers are fifth overall by DVOA. The Vikings are sixth. So it really is neck and neck.
So DVOA agrees with me, though. Packers are better.
What's the difference in percentage?
1.3. No way. Sorry. I was looking at the wrong column. Oh, 1.2.
They're basically the same thing. All right. Some news we got to hit on. Michael Bennett was traded from the Patriots to the Cowboys. ESPN reported that the Patriots will either get a 2021 sixth-round pick or a 2021 seventh-round pick, depending on whether or not Bennett meets certain conditions. I mean, it's hard not to like this deal for the Cowboys. They get more pass rush help. It's cheap. Bennett's a great player. Clearly, he's got – I mean, like, the Bennett brothers in general are sort of a pain in the bottom. They're a little quirky. Brian, I once interviewed
sitting next to you when you did it. I said, it was at Arizona Super Bowl.
I said Ryan and I once interviewed Marty Bennett.
Oh, sorry. I was ready to turn on you. I was
Wilson's just looking for a fight.
I know.
It's like, anyone. I was sitting next to you. I was there. It's like, yeah, I know. That's why I said Ryan.
I didn't hear the first part. Go ahead. Sorry. I'm sorry for snapping at you.
It's like that time I tried to compliment him on Twitter by saying I agreed with him, and he replies like, hey, a-hole, like, that's what I said. I was like, I know. I was giving you credit.
But, you know, Marty's got like a kid's book and all that stuff. He's retired now, but, Michael Bennett, you know, didn't fit in his time with the Patriots. And as a result, they shipped him out to the Cowboys for
nothing. Played. They were an all world defense. It made sense to get rid of him.
Yeah. You don't need that guy stinking up the locker room. Do you think he impacts the Cowboys positively, Sean?
I lean yes, because despite the headaches that we know he can cause, I still think he's a good player. I don't think we really had a chance to see it much this year. And I think if you look at Dallas's defensive line now, you think, okay, on both edges, you've got Robert Quinn and DeMarcus Lawrence. And what makes Michael Bennett such a good player for the last, you know, 6-7 years, however long it's been, is that he can play in the interior. And I think so far this season, he's played more as a defensive tackle than a defensive end. I imagine that's what they will do, so they can have all three of those players on the field at the same time. And then you also think about who is the coach he's joining, which is Chris Richard, who obviously worked with him in Seattle. So, I mean, I love the trade because it's such a low risk. Seventh round picks don't matter, for the most part, to teams. So I don't understand. There's no risk attached to it. And I would be willing to bet it works out. But if it doesn't work out, who cares? Also, he mentioned Richard real quick. He was the defensive coordinator in Seattle 2015 through 2017. And Michael Bennett went to the Pro Bowl every single one of those seasons. So, you know, like, I'm sure they talked to him before they made this trade. He obviously knows how to push Bennett's buttons to make him get going.
All right. Also in the news, kind of, I was reading a.
There it is.
What did I say?
I distracted him.
You sure did. The Jets are shopping Robbie Anderson and also listening to offers on Leonard Williams. It's a good thing they already fired their GM, because if you got to trade Leonard Williams, you're probably getting fired anyway, because he was a very high draft pick. Robbie Anderson, really the top weapon outside of Le'Veon Bell and Jamison Crowder, top speed weapon for Sam Darnold. Kind of weird that they're shopping him. I guess they're waving the white flag on the season at this point.
Strong start for Adam Gase 8 weeks in. I mean, in his defense, I don't want to defend him, but again, he had Luke Falk, and then we saw what Sam Darnold did a few days ago against the Patriots, where he gave up in the first quarter. So I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. Doesn't seem like they have a plan. We know that Adam Gase didn't want Le'Veon Bell the amount of money they signed him for right before they fired their GM. They don't have a GM, right? Is that right? Are they still GMless, or are they hired?
Joe Douglas.
Oh, right. They did hire Joe Douglas. I was trying to remember.
This little, your ability to hide behind the curtain of being the new draft guy. You're like, oh, like, I don't know. Why would I know who the GM is? He's only making the draft picks.
No, I knew it was I couldn't remember if there was the Eagles guy that went there or went somewhere else, because I know that the Texans don't have one. Oh, please. They're acting like they dunked on me for that.
I think the bigger question here is, Brinson, are you surprised that they might be waving the white flag? Because on this very podcast on Monday, you made a case that the Jets could make a run toward the playoffs based on their schedule. So if you were Joe Douglas, would you say, yeah, hang up the phones, we're not trading anyone, we got the Dolphins, the Giants, the Redskins, and the Jaguars coming up on our schedule, and we can win all those games?
Yeah, but unfortunately, if I'm Joe Douglas, I might work for Adam Gase. I don't know what you do there.
By the way, Sean just threw you an alley-oop. Breach caught it, ran on the court, and dunked on both of you.
What? How? Why am I involved? When Brinson said the Jets were going to make a playoff run, I mocked him.
I said they make a playoff push.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly. But yes, yeah, so how you think, clarified it. Well, do you think they should be waving the white flag, Brinson?
I would not be trading Robbie Anderson right now. Let him walk in free agency. What are you getting?
Williams.
What are you getting? Yeah. What are you getting for these guys in on the market right now? Like, what are you getting for Leonard Williams?
Mid-round picks.
I mean, let him walk and then get comp picks.
Is there – so Wilson was just bringing up who the three worst teams are. I was going to bring up, and I didn't, but now that I can, like, the Jets are another one of those one-win teams. Are we sure the Jets can't sneak into that conversation?
No, of course not. They can. They're the problem with the Jets – and the Falcons also deserve some discussion there too. The problem with the Jets is that they were beating the Bills and then lost at the last second. And then their quarterback got mono for 5 weeks. And then he came back and they thrashed the Cowboys. And then they lost to the Patriots on Monday night. And the Patriots were just tough to deal with. So, like, I think it's hard to really discern what the Jets are. It's easy to bury Adam Gase. I know you want him fired, Sean. You have some personal vendetta against him. I get it. You want him canned. But it's a little early in the process. I don't think he's going to get fired personally.
They have I just think he's a bad.
They have two games against the Dolphins. Two games against the Dolphins, and they have to play at Cincinnati.
Oh, I think Brenton is talking Wilson in this playoff push.
No, I'm just saying that in terms of being the worst team.
No, but this is exact. Now, conversely, if you lose two of those three games, hey, gown. But this is exactly what happened with Wilson and the Broncos. Wilson's like, oh yeah, this is a great idea. I love it. I love it. I'm like, oh yeah, let's go. We're all in on this. And then I'm going to turn around. Wilson be like, Brenton's a moron for pushing the Jets in the playoffs. I'm like, wait, but you,
I was a moron for letting you talk me into the Broncos in the offseason. I take full responsibility for that.
Until week 14 when he starts talking about how Devontae Parker is actually going to beat Sammy Watkins and tries to take all the credit.
Oh, he's beating Sammy Watkins.
Do you guys know who the worst team is against the spread this year?
The
Jets.
No, I don't. The Bengals.
Sean, what's your guess? The Bengals.
I want a different guess. Hold on.
The answer, you already guessed, and it's the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, that makes sense. Listen, if they lose to the Seahawks, let's say they lose by
– Red Dan Quinn.
If they lose to the Seahawks.
I'm in six. Wow.
So if they lose this weekend to the Seahawks, and then they have their bye after that, are you firing Dan Quinn?
Yes.
No, yeah, I mean, I am, but
I don't think Arthur Blank will.
I think he's going to let it ride out for the full season. These owners have this thing about not wanting to be the guy who fires midseason.
Why?
I don't know.
Dan Snyder doesn't have that thing.
No. And look how successful he's been.
Dan Snyder's he's an aberration.
I didn't know where you were going with that, but that's the right word. Yep.
It's pretty hard to own. If you think about what Dan Snyder's done to the Redskins, like the Redskins at one point in time, and this is, you know, when Sean was a wee little lad, but the Redskins were one of the most iconic brands in all of professional football and all of sports. And Dan Snyder's turned them into arguably the least iconic brand in all of professional football and all of sports. Like,
and we haven't even talked about the issue with the name of the team for 3 or 4 years. This has all been on the field stuff.
Yeah, it's just the team's a trash heap. Would you, if you were buying a team, would you rather buy the Redskins or the Bengals?
Bengals.
If somebody bought the Bengals, they would actually be good. But I will say that the Redskins, I think they have the longest drought of not going to the NFC title game.
Wow.
They have not been that. They went to the Super Bowl in 91, and that was also their last appearance in the NFC title game.
By the way, if I bought the Redskins, I would change the name. I would immediately announce I was changing the name. Harbor, you get so much goodwill. You get so much new sales of like merchandise and stuff like that.
What
and
would you change it to though?
The Brentons.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Weird. I can't believe I thought of that. That's so unlike you.
Can you imagine? Look at Brenton's face right there. That's on the side of the helmet. That face right there.
Oh my God. Get the screen grab.
No, it's not that. It's the top of the helmet is painted like his hair, so it looks like everyone has his hair.
Oh, okay, he's loving it.
Thing you've ever said, Sean. I didn't even think Sean had that in him.
Yeah.
All right, anything else we need to talk about? Did we miss any news?
I got the screen grab.
Oh, good.
Good for you, Breach. That's very exciting.
Your Washington Brentons. They wear wigs to the stadium. It's a whole thing. There you go. The only reason I take the Bengals over the Redskins is because I don't want to have to rebuild a new stadium, FedEx Field.
Hey, let me ask you this. We talked about the Giants and the Lions on the Picks podcast, which you can check out in the feed as well. Darius Slay said that, quote, nobody's safe after the Quandre Diggs trade. Are you worried that the Lions might lay a turd against the Giants this weekend because of the Quandre Diggs trade?
Yeah, I don't know. What did they explain, Quinn and Patricia, what they were doing?
No.
No. Second year in a row, they've traded four. They've been like active buyers and sellers.
Well, the thing is, they leave New England, and with all that success, and I saw Belichick just trading whoever he wants, whenever he wants, and they're like, oh, we can do that too. But the thing is, you can't. You haven't earned that credibility in your new organization, and now it seems like half the people on the roster hate Patricia and Quinn for trading Diggs away. I mean, it's kind of a silly trade when you just – your whole roster is just upset with you and doesn't even care anymore.
The thing is, though, is that the Giants are terrible. So that's why I think they're not going to lay an egg.
Well, I mean, you might be giving the Lions too much credit.
One more. Yeah, I think Matt Stafford has a big day. One more piece of news I want to get to. This quote, this bothered me. John Elway, after the Emmanuel Sanders trade, got up during his press conference and said, Emmanuel had issues and we had issues, so that's why it was a good time to go in a different direction.
What bothered you about that?
You just don't have to say it. Like, you guy who's like,
he answers to no one.
You know, and you know what Emmanuel Sanders' issue was? For the last few years, he hasn't had a quarterback who could throw him the ball. So if John Elway could actually just find a quarterback, then Emmanuel Sanders doesn't have these issues.
Did he say that?
I'm just saying that's what we know. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders over the years has hinted at or, you know, complained, not in a terrible way, but has like talked about how it's frustrating when him and Demaryius Thomas were there, when he's playing with, you know, the Trevor Siemians, the Brock Osweilers. Who am I missing? Paxton Lynch. He's talked about it. So I assume that's the issue. I mean, he's at the end of his prime. I mean, he's not in his prime anymore, but he's at the end of his career when he's going to be productive, and he's stuck with these terrible quarterbacks. And I'm sure every single year he's hoping John Elway drafts a halfway decent quarterback. And John Elway's response was to trade for Joe Flacco, and then draft Drew Lock. So, I mean, I can understand why Emmanuel Sanders would have issues.
Understandable frustration, yes.
Every week I go on our buddy – Bob Haney and Vinny Serrato's show in Baltimore. And every week they remind me that Joe Flacco was terrible. And I was an idiot for even thinking that he was going to do anything good for the Broncos.
You know, what's funny is that John Elway also said that Drew Lock's never going to play and he just doesn't care. And he just makes himself look more foolish. Like he has no idea what to look for in a quarterback, which we could have a whole podcast on. It's just like the guy drafts a quarterback and that guy is automatically destined for failure because John Elway has no idea what he's doing.
We need a 30 for 30 on Elway's course. Like, what if I told you one Hall of Fame quarterback took 9 draft picks and came away with absolutely 0 wins at quarterback?
I'm trying to think. So Michael Jordan coached. Did he coach? He was a GM. Did he ever coach?
Remember he B-slapped Kwame Brown.
Right, he sure did.
Drafts, yeah.
Larry Bird wasn't a terrible coach. I mean, he was okay.
He's okay, GM. Yeah.
Yeah, Magic was okay as a coach, right?
I don't think so. Magic was a disaster as a GM.
I'm trying to compare these guys to John Elway being like.
I'm not gonna be here.
All right.
Great Magic moment.
What if Elway said that?
Magic was a bad coach. Debo says. Debo, by the way, I don't know if you guys know this. NBA savant.
Oh, okay. So Debo, in comparison, Larry Bird, Magic. And John Elway. Is John Elway still the worst, or is Magic hold that throne?
Magic. Isaiah's in there too. Isaiah Thomas is in there too.
Oh, Isaiah, that's right. He was doo-doo straight up. Yeah. So John Elway needs to hang out with Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson, and he looks like less of an idiot.
Oh my goodness. Wait, is this right? Magic, I just forgotten this. 93-94, Magic at age 34, by the way, was the Lakers coach for 16 games. Where do you think the team went?
They won 7 games.
3-13.
5-11.
All right. Split the difference.
Yep. What did Isaiah Thomas do? Oh, yeah.
He was a jerk, if I recall, and I don't follow it closely.
He finished 187-223.
You know, in Elway's defense, at least he has not pulled a Pete Rose.
He's not what?
He hasn't pulled a Pete Rose. Could be worse.
Pete Rose was great against the spread, though. So he's got
Pete Rose wasn't a terrible manager either, was he, John?
Until he got banned from baseball forever for betting
on his team. But he was betting on the team.
He was managing.
He's a good manager.
He's my favorite player growing up.
Because his last name was Rose.
Dude, Pete Rose won his division 2 of his last 3 years. What are you talking about, Breach?
Yeah,
I'm just saying at least Elway hasn't been caught betting on football.
Would it matter if he bet on the Broncos to win, though? Who cares? That's what Pete Rose is doing.
Honestly,
it would
now
be foolish of him to bet on the Broncos.
Now that gambling, now that
I would look down on him.
What if Elway is secretly betting against the Broncos
every week?
He's like been making ever since the Super Bowl. He's just been loading up and making millions of dollars betting.
That is the best conspiracy theory yet.
But if now that gambling's not frowned upon, what do you think would happen if they found out that someone like in a general manager position was betting for or against their team?
Oh, they get fired.
Yeah, they'd be banned from the sport.
Yeah.
So, is something you want to tell us?
I'm not a GM. Gamblers,
it's not illegal to gamble in Vegas, but like players and coaches aren't allowed to go to Vegas and gamble.
John Elway's texting up.
They can go, they just can't bet on the NFL.
They can go. They just can't.
They can't bet on something that they are a part of.
Yeah. It'd be frowned upon for John Elway to gamble on football breach.
I said any GM. I didn't name a specific name.
By the way, shout out to what's the name of the show, John, that Tom Brady got in trouble for? I watched the first episode.
Netflix show?
Yeah, that show's good with Paul Rudd.
Is it good?
The first episode actually is pretty good. And John, and Tom Brady does a great job acting, so props to him.
Now that we're talking about other sports and TV shows, is Devo in your ear right now, Brinson, telling you to log off?
Wrap it up.
In fact, he wrote very brief in Slack, and he was like talking about Magic Johnson's coaching career. No. Dubin and I started talking NBA. When we started talking basketball, Devo gets
That's how we hook Devo. We got to start turning.
We talked NBA in three straight podcasts now.
Nice,
very nice. Speaking of NBA, the Clippers are railroading the Warriors, so that's exciting. And that's how we'll get out of here. Make sure and check out the Picks Pod. It's up on YouTube. It's also in your feed. And we'll talk Sunday night, boys.
Follow Golden Tate on Twitter.
Follow me on Facebook.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.